Father, again, I just ask, Lord God, as we just take a moment to go to your word, that, Lord God, we would press in close to you, Lord God, that you would accomplish what you want to accomplish, that we would hear what you want to say to us, that, Lord God, that you might be everything that we need this morning. And we just ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, if you would turn with me to Psalms 139 and Psalms 27. So if you would split your Bible right in half and get to the Psalms, just kind of keep your finger at both spots. We've been looking at things of the church. We've been looking at God working in our lives. This morning, I want to share just a moment about God loves us and how much he loves us and what he wants to accomplish in our lives. And I couldn't help but think this morning as I was praying for the service, I thought of the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. So, you know, it's such a simple truth. But you realize that unless you feel that Jesus loves you, unless you sense that there is a God that loves you, that would be a song that would be sung. But until you sense God's presence, until you really understand how much God really does love you and what he's done for you, if you really grasp onto that the Bible is your truth, God shares his love through his word. Unless you understand these truths, you cannot fully grab onto that song. But when you do, then you really sing that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because all the truths begin to come together. You really sense God's love. You understand God's truth in his word. And you understand that by singing that, it's coming from the heart. And this morning, I want you to just think about it. We're going to be looking in a moment at the broken heart of David as he begins to share his cry to God as he's in hard times. And most people can relate to Peter, because Peter was the one that always seemed to speak first. He was the outspoken one. He was the one that probably spoke and then thought about what he should have said or shouldn't have said. And we can relate to him. But this morning, I'm thinking of David. I'm thinking of David because, one, David, we think of David and we think of him as the one who defeated the giant, defeated Goliath when no one else would even try. And then we think of David that was the one that did great things for the nation of Israel. But then I appreciate David because David was the one that in the midst of all of the things that he did and all of the mistakes he made was close enough to God that he says, God, my heart isn't right, so, and I can't do this on my own. Would you create in me a clean heart? Would you renew a right spirit in me? And was honest to come to God and wanting him to minister to him. You know, I think this world is crazy. Because there's so many voices that are coming after us and trying to get us to be on their side, to be a part of their debate or part of their decision making, or they're trying to influence us, in many cases trying to get us to change our thoughts, change our ways, come to their side. And then the church universally is speaking also, and sometimes I think we make a mistake, but the church is also speaking and trying to influence and trying to get attention and trying to change the way people think. And in the midst of all them voices trying to speak to you, there's God's truth in there. And you have to decipher which part is truth, which one you're going to grab onto. And another part of that, I think, there's a lot of have-tos. There's a lot of have-tos that you have to do every day. Now, I'm saying this kidding, but, you know, even I have to go to the bathroom. I mean, you know, you can put it off, but eventually, if you put it off too long, you're going to have a problem. There's some things that you have to do. And some of those other have-tos, I have to go to work. I have to take care of my family. I have to take care of myself. And down a little farther on all of those I have to's, sometimes you look and you say, I have to find purpose. I have to find God. I have to find the truth on all of these things. Really, the truth is, usually those last two that I mentioned are way down on the list of have to's. But one day they rise up, and one day you have to do something with those. And Scripture tells us that God has a love so great that it compels us. The Word of God says that God's love compels us. And if you really look at that, it's equating that to a magnet. That God's love draws us to Him, draws us to the things of God, like a magnet that's pulling something weaker to it. And in our journeys, there's some that have fought against God tooth and nail as He's tried to draw us to Himself, that we've rebelled, and in those same have-tos, they rebel by saying, I don't have to. This is one of the things that I don't have to do, and you fight, and the other things that draw us. See, there's some positive and there's some negative things that draw us every day. That God is trying to pull us towards Him. God is compelling us and trying to show His love for us and pulling us toward us. And then there's other things that pull in a negative way, that pull us, that tug us. And if we're not careful, those negative things change us, change our attitudes, change our perspective, change the way we think, can change our faith sometimes, and can discourage us and pull us down. And all of those negative things could be the things that hurt us, the things that people have done to us, the past, the guilt, and all of the things. Even our own mind running wild. Can anyone say amen to that? Even our own mind sometimes running wild, thinking things that aren't really happening, thinking that somebody's a negative when they're not negative, thinking that, he looked at me, she looked at me, and have all the wrong things, or coming with this pre-assumption that these things are going on when our mind is just running wild. Can you say amen to that this morning? There's so many things pulling at us. I want you to do me a favor. Now, just humor me for just a moment this morning. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. I promise I won't do anything crazy. Just close your eyes just for a moment. And in your right hand, think of all the positive things in your life. The things that bring you joy. The things that just get you up in the morning. Now close your right hand. Close your right hand. Those are the things this morning that I want you to hold on to. Don't let go of those things, those positive things of God, those positive things that make you want to get up in the morning, those positive things that bring you joy. Now you get where I'm going. In your left hand this morning, I want you to place all the things that trouble you, all the things that you cannot do anything about, all the things that keep you up at night. Now I want you to close your left hand. And I want you to think about that for a moment. And I want you to answer this question. And it's just going to be between you and God this morning. If you could get rid of those things, would you? If you could get rid of those things, would you? Now I want you to picture a God that loves you. Now I want you to picture a God that cares about you, a God that is compelling you to be drawn to Him. And then I want you to open your left hand. And I want you to let those things go this morning to a God that loves you, to a God that cares, and a God that even understands where you're at. A God that's reaching out to you. You can open your eyes this morning. So let me share a scripture with you. Should be close to being there. Psalm 139. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I really want to just read the first three verses and then verses 13 to 16. So starting at verse 1, Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I'm stirred and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Now skip down to verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's the God that knows you this morning. That's the God that loves you this morning. That's the God that says you are uniquely made. Say amen to that. You are uniquely made. And look, I'm looking out. Some of you are very unique. You have purpose. You know that kind of God today, or you can know that kind of God today. I stop and I think of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul after his encounter with Jesus Christ. Saul thought that everything that he was doing was righteous, was religious, and was pleasing to God. He believed that his personal beliefs and the way he wanted to do things would be all right with a holy God. Then he got in the presence of God. And God began to move and press upon his heart, and he realized just how empty he was without God. How empty he was and had no purpose. That God gave him a new purpose. And it wasn't until Christ changed his life that he found purpose. Sometimes we think that way. You think, because if you read Philippians, Paul gives out this great resume. But when he was in the presence of God, he realized that that long resume may have impressed everybody else, but it didn't impress Jesus until he came to Jesus. And used that, not that there's anything wrong with the prestige and the things that he did, but it was empty, it was unimpressive to God, except when he began to give himself to God and went empty himself, wanting Jesus to change him. That's when God was pleased. That's when he began to have purpose. That's what happens for us when we have that kind of changed life, when we become sensitive to what God wants to do around us, in us, and through us, when we want and decide that we're going to help others, when we become kingdom-minded instead of selfish in our purposes, we line up with God instead of trying to make God forced to line up with us. And we not only hear that we're unique, but we begin to believe that we're unique. And we begin to see that God wants to use us, that each one of us has a purpose, that each one of us has a mission in life that God wants us to fulfill. We not only believe it, but then we begin to act on it. We begin to live it in our lives. Now, if you would turn with me to Psalm 27. We see a broken David. We see broken David coming before God. How many would believe that this could be your prayer this morning? Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That's good stuff this morning. That's good stuff. A broken David. He couldn't say these things until he came to a place of trust and assurance with Christ. The commentaries differ here of the time of the writing of this psalm. Some believe that David was in the midst of turmoil before his taking of the throne. Others believe that David penned these words as an old man and was reflecting on the times that God had been there, including the times that he intervened with the victory against the giant Goliath. Either way, God has something to say to us this morning. Say amen to that. He begins by saying in this psalm that the Lord is my light and my Savior. He's my light and he's my salvation. It's personal. David's people called him the light of Israel in 2 Samuel. But then you see that David learned that he wasn't the light, but that Almighty God was the light. He began to see that he did not light the pathway, but that God lit his path. It was a learned truth. He had to go through these hard times to realize that God was with him. He had to learn to trust God. How many could say amen to that? You have to learn to trust God. It's not easy. God puts us in these positions and wants to minister, and he wants us to learn to trust him, and that we need to stop looking at our circumstances. Maybe this morning as we close this service, you want to know this kind of a God. The kind of God that never leaves you. The kind of God that never will forsake you. The kind of God that even when the enemies of your soul come after you, that you can say, who shall I fear? When the enemies encamped you from all sides and you cry out and you're able to cry out in confidence that they're going to be the one to stumble. I'm not going to stumble because my God will take care of me. The resemblance here between Paul and David is that they learned after they were in the presence of God. They learned that in the presence of Jesus, they could trust him. David could trust God. Paul met face to face with Jesus Christ. You know what I like about these? Nowhere in either case did Paul ask to be taken out of it. David didn't ask to be taken out of it. They didn't ask to be taken out of that danger. They only asked that God would be there with them through their trials and help them through the troubles. They learned that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that God gives abundant life. Say amen to that this morning. That they had learned that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness, against wickedness in high places. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting each other. The one thing that believers need to learn is that Jesus doesn't eliminate challenges. He just tells us he's going to see us through them. He just tells us that we can trust him. He tells us in those times that's where he's going to get honor and glory. That's where he's going to make us stronger. That is where we're going to be more kingdom-minded instead of self-centered. That's where we're going to desire even more than the deliverance is to be in God's presence. Can I say that again? That we come to a point more than the deliverance, we want God's presence. We want to be at that safe place, the beauty of God's holy place. It's the only reason that some of the people can make it through the things that they go through. And people say, how do you do that? Only because you're in the safe place of God. Only in His presence. Only that you can put complete trust in Him. David and Paul discovered that you don't run from the enemy. Can I say that again? You don't run from the enemy. You don't chase after the enemy. You pursue the presence of God. You pursue the presence of God. You go after and get and desire to be in the safe place of God and let God fight your battle. Say amen to that this morning. Intimacy with Christ will allow you to look at a situation and a circumstance in a new perspective. And I think of the contrast of a turtle and a giraffe. To the turtle, everything looks big. Everything looks intimidating. A turtle cannot see past his immediate circumstance. Everything bumping him. Everything's bigger than him. Everything's going to torment him. But in a giraffe, there's a different perspective. A giraffe is able to see above the circumstance, above in a different point of view. The turtle's concerns are not the giraffe's concern. You say amen to this morning? They don't share the same perspective, so they don't share the same concerns. Though the enemies appeared to be all around us, when we take the perspective of Jesus Christ is in control of our lives and working in our lives, when we look that we can rise above that circumstance, sorry about that, that we can rise above that circumstance, we'll have a new perspective. We'll look at it different. Isn't that good? When we get to that place, when we get to that safe place, God is able to do amazing things. We sense God's presence more than the enemy's darkness. You can do amazing things. You can see the beauty of God even in a hard time. You can see God working. We're able to sing praises. We're able to admonish the greatness of God. We can praise in those trials. We can demonstrate the ability to trust God. We can show people that we love God. Then we're able to look at this and say, the God of the universe loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So it becomes all fresh and new. And you look at that and you see the God of the universe loves you. You understand how He died for you. You understand that He wants to have a relationship with you. It all begins to come together. You understand that you're uniquely made by God. And then I think of fingerprints. And they say that the odds of two people having the same fingerprint is 1 in 64 million. And that God says He loves you. God loves us. God wants to work in our lives. Maybe this morning, if we would look at our situation through the eyes of the giraffe instead of the turtle, what wouldn't God be able to do in your life this morning? Amen? Anybody still out there? Don't think lunch yet. We're not quite done. Maybe if we thought that and we purposely looked as if a giraffe, looking above the circumstance, above what is immediate, not trusting only what we can see, but knowing that God is at work, then we could say, like David said, then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. He goes on to say, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Would you bow your head this morning? Father, we believe that You spoke to us this morning. In the midst of all chaos, in the midst of the things going on all around the world, You love us enough that you still want to speak to us individually. You still want to speak to us as a church, a local church in Middletown. You want to speak to us as a global church. And you want to work in people's lives, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing. Help us to be the giraffe and not the turtle. Help us to be mindful of that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will never leave us or abandon us. Have us to grab onto that truth. Have us grab onto the fact that the enemy is going to be the one that stumbles and falls because our walk with you is true. And we're going to just press in. We're going to get to that safe place and allow you to do a miraculous work in our lives. We give you honor and we give you praise this morning, trusting you, Lord Jesus, to accomplish much in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.